In this episode, we talk to brew wizard Jeff Douglas.
And how beer saved the world.
And how if you want your business to be successful, turn it into a Pokemon gem.
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to the Thunder Nerds, where it's $10 for a BJ, $12 for an HJ, and $15 for a ZJ. I am now and forever JD Riot.
And I am Frederick Philip Von Weiss. You are listening to the Thunder Nerds, a design and developer discussion for all levels in the industry that love what they do and do web good. So, what is a ZJ?
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
It's $10 for a BJ, $12 for an HJ, $15 for a ZJ.
What's a ZJ?
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
Speaking of ZJs, we have a special guest host today, Brian Hinton, joining us. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Welcome back, man.
Glad to be back
on the show. Was a guest and now a guest host. And we should probably go ahead and introduce our actual guest. Let's welcome brew wizard Jeff Douglas.
Hello. Thank you very much.
I like it. It sounds good. And that quote was for you. If you know what it is, you get points. Do you get points?
No. Anyone?
Do you remember what that's from? It's from Beer Fest. It was applicable.
I just watched that last week, so I should have gotten that.
You should have gotten. It's when they're trying to recruit Barry out of the car, and he's like, he's trying to basically get him to like these sexual favors for money.
Yes, that was probably the best part of the movie. Yes.
It was one of the best parts of that movie. I don't know. I think Cloris Leachman as Gam Gam was probably the best part of that whole movie. But like, we'll agree to disagree on that.
Yeah, I think that's necessary research for you at this moment, Jeff.
It is.
Can we put this on hold right now and let me go watch it again and I'll come back?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. And through the magic of editing, we're back.
The magic of editing.
Jeff, nationwide family road trip brew tour has now become a brewery. What's going on, buddy?
No, yeah, it actually just switched gears. So we were touring breweries and now we're opening a brewery. So we're opening up a brew pub. So it's basically a brewery with food, not typical pub type food. We're going to do soup, sandwiches, salads, burgers, stuff like that. No fried food, no food that'll kill you, which is pretty important. And then hopefully if I can convince the boss slash wife in about 6 months or so to get a pizza oven and start doing pizzas. So it's come along real well.
Oh yeah, get a coal fire one, man. So good.
Pizza, yeah, so that's kind of play right now. There's no better combination besides Jekyll and Hyde, I think, than pizza and beer.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. I want to know, are you going to have cheddar beer soup? That's what I really want to know.
Have not thought about that. We haven't got the menu actually pinned down yet. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, we're kind of meeting with some people now about the menu. We know what we want to have roughly, but there's a lot of things we'll have on special. We may do a pizza cheddar soup sandwich. Ooh. Combo. I don't know. A lot of things we can do. We're not tied to a franchise like that, so we can do whatever we want. So maybe why not? Maybe we decide to have food one day.
If you could do beer cheese pizza, dude, people would drop their freaking panties for that.
Oh my gosh, that's a good idea. See, oh, you just made me so hungry.
And actually, my father makes great beer cheese.
I'm honestly expecting some cut from that. That's the thing that you guys are gonna get known for. Just so you know,
beer cheese pizza.
I'll take the first slice.
Okay,
beer cheese pizza, man.
What type of cheese though? Are you making?
Oh, you're gonna ask for trade secrets? Shit. All right, let's do it. Hey, how do you exactly brew your beer while we're at it?
Yeah.
What's the exact ratio of malt? But really, what cheese are you using? It's got to be cheddar.
I thought maybe you just take your pizza and dunk it in your beer. Then you'd have beer cheese pizza. But you're talking about something different, though.
That's progressively college of you.
Or you could actually wrap the pizza up into a straw and suck the beer through the pizza straw.
You could make a beer cheese queso.
A beer cheese queso.
And then you could just pour it on the pizza.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jeff, I want to ask you a question. Why a brewery for everybody that's listening that has no idea what we're talking about? How did you go from developer evangelist to a brew wizard?
Okay.
Brew wizard.
Well, back in when Gandalf and I were traveling the Shire, we discussed it quite frequently. So I met my wife, Kathy, my much better half. I met her when we were in college, and we worked at restaurants together. So we bartended, we worked in the back, in the kitchen, we worked as hostesses. Well, I didn't work as hostess, as servers. So we've always been in the restaurant industry. And we've always wanted to open up a cool little bar restaurant where you just kind of hang out with your friends, big oversized stuffed chairs, you know, where you just sit there and you drink White Russians all night long. So we've always wanted to do that. We've always talked about that. But we were like, well, we don't want to get tied down to this place. So if we have a restaurant, you know, we couldn't ever leave the restaurant. So we just wanted to have partners. And then we went on this big RV trip around the U.S. So long story short, we sold basically rented our house for 2 years, sold everything we own, essentially, and then started traveling the U.S. for 2 years with our three daughters. And we hit 40 states and 126 breweries, I believe. And so it kind of like, man, you know, I think the brewery's kind of like where it's at. I think we want to do a brewery instead of a bar. So we're not the bar scene, you know. I was like, I'm not the big bar scene guy. And at the same time, we were traveling. Our son, who's, as Fred knows, he's 29 now. He was stationed in California, and he got into the beer scene and started brewing. And then he got his actually second job interview with Lagunitas in California. And so we didn't want him.
Oh, nice.
We didn't want him to leave and go to California. So we said, let's cut our trip short. So we were in northern Michigan, and we kind of skedaddled back down to Florida right around Thanksgiving time and started looking for a place. And we finally found a place. Oh, I'd say probably 3-4 months ago we found a place, and we've just finished up the loan and the lease is official, all that good stuff. And we're painting and building stuff now. So it's starting to come about. And he's going to brew beer, and my wife's going to actually run the restaurant side. So that's the
See,
story.
I didn't realize that you were doing research this whole time, maybe not intentionally, but you had it in the back of your mind for a long period of time to open up a brewery or slash bar or restaurant. So that's pretty cool to find that out.
Yeah, we've always wanted to do that. And just we started going around the breweries. We're like, okay, we like this idea. We like this idea. We don't want to ever do that idea. You can't do karaoke and beer together. So we got to get that out of here. You know, just stuff like that. We got the ideas, things we wanted to do. And so we did a lot of research on type of things, and I would always go and talk to the owners and ask them, you know, I'd say, what two things do you wish you would have done better opening up? So we got a lot of great feedback from a lot of different brewery owners on that, so worked out real, real well.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've actually got a good friend that I have to hook you up with. She was a sales rep for Duvall, Omegang, like all the people who do the Game of Thrones beer. I mean, she represents pretty much almost every beer place that there is as far as like breweries and whatnot. She does most of their like events, sales, and other things. Her name's Taylor Katz. She owns Cultured and Craft Productions. Definitely going to hook the two of you up. I think
that'd be
it'll
cool.
be a match made in heaven. Yeah, she knows everybody. So as far as taking your beers into like different events that are around here, bringing events to your restaurant, like she's amazing. You guys are gonna, it's gonna be a great match.
That'd be good. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're already starting to line up what festivals we want to go to. So Scott's looking into that. Which ones he wants to. Mm-hmm. And we actually were just spending yesterday setting up some of our brewing equipment, but it's probably going to be, you know, till the first of the year, well, probably in December, when we actually start brewing and selling beer. It's about a 6-month process to get your federal license to brew beer. So it's not an easy thing to open up a brewery.
Yep, and she can give you an inside look on all of those because she works hand in hand with the people who run all of those festivals. Okay. So I mean, it's she pretty much almost event coordinates almost all of them as well. So it'll be really cool.
That'd be awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, definitely. As soon as I heard you were doing it, I was like, wait a second, I know somebody that can help you.
We can
beautiful all thing that about working in a bar for 15 years.
Yeah, we kind of miss it. We like the whole atmosphere, the vibe of a bar, just kind of like working up front and hanging out with people, stuff like that. So that's what we're gonna have that same thing. We're not gonna be like, it's gonna be real laid back. Just come in there and have some beers with friends. We're going to make it family-friendly, so if you got munchkins, I know Fred's got a munchkin. He can bring his munchkin to our
I have a munchkin.
Yes, and so we're going to have a little kids area. We kind of looked at some of the breweries out west, like Portland and Northern California, where they were family-friendly, and they're all family-friendly out there. It's not like on the East Coast where people say, oh, you can't bring a kid to a brewery. And that's all you find out in California and Oregon and Washington, and even in Michigan, the same way, too. It's not like it is here. And that's probably one of the reasons why there's not a lot of brew pubs in Florida. You know, everybody's actually starting a brewery. They're, you know, spending $1.5 million, get their 30-barrel brew house and all their 30-barrel fermenters and bright tanks, and then they're just brewing a ton of beer and putting it in kegs and bottles and cans and distributing it, and they're competing for shelf space and dealing with the government, and we didn't want to do anything like that. So we just did the opposite, you know, because we didn't want to have to rely on feeding people with a food truck, because what if you go to a brewery and they have Thai food and you don't like Thai food? Well, then you got to go somewhere else to eat. So we want to make it so there's food for everybody, and it's going to be a good place to hang out, have a good beer, and a good meal. So right the
opposite. If there's food, I'm definitely going to drink more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, there's also, I mean, tons of different places that have actually done it. I know you say there aren't that many in Florida that do it, but there are, actually. Tempe Brewing Company.
Ybor has
obviously has done it for some. Now, Ybor's got quite a few with the Madura and All Day, the Jai Ale from... I'm drawing a blank on them right now.
Cigar City?
We even carry them at the bar. There you go, Cigar City Brewing, probably the most famous of the Tampa brewers right now.
Oh yeah, they definitely are.
But yeah, there are a ton of them, and they're getting a lot of good success and whatnot. But the thing is like it's one of those markets that no matter how saturated it gets, people are excited about drinking a new beer, you know, a new pilsner, a new something, you know, and so mm-hmm. that so it's like. You know, a lot of the times it's in your label. You look at it and you go, "Eh, why not?" You know, you can try it, and then eventually you become somebody's favorite beer, and then it's over. You know what I mean? It's you get a couple reps to come in there and try and carry you, and it is all over. You know, and the all over, but I don't know the crying, but the but it's cool. No, I mean, I think that breweries, if you can do it right, is I mean, not only is it just fun as far as a passion project goes, but it's pretty damn lucrative, and it's pretty respectable that you're going the opposite way, you know, where everybody's trying to do a brewery and then sell their stuff and sell their product and bottle it and whatnot. It's like you're just basically making your product in-house for your restaurant, and if anything else happens from that, then it's organic. But
yeah.
The you know, you're gonna be making money back. It's smart,
because actually when you distribute beer, you lose 30% right away to the distributor. You're losing,
yes.
And then it's probably another 5-10% of just like carrying costs, you know, packaging that thing, you got to buy the kegs that you distribute with, you know, stuff like that. So there's a lot of costs involved. And so we're not going to lose that 30-40% right off the top. So we like the idea. It's basically the difference of what everybody else is not doing right now.
Are you planning at any point to distribute at all? Are you hoping in the long term maybe to sell some beer outside of your place?
Well, so we have a license where we can actually sell beer in growlers, so we can do that too. So we're going to get what's called a crowler. I don't know if you've heard of a crowler before, but it's essentially a 32-ounce can. And so Cigar City has one. I think Cycle has one. It has it on the bar, and you basically fill up the beer with this can, and you seal it the top just like a regular can. It's a 32-ounce. It's a to-go crowler, a growler, but it's not made out of glass. You just use it and throw it away. So it's basically two beers. So we're going to have those so you can buy beer and take it home with you right then. Or have a 64-ounce growler. Either one, you know, we'll sell those too. So we are going to sell beer to take home with you. Distribution, we might do that. I would say we'll probably start doing some of that down the road in a year or two. We talked about it. And you can also do some self-distribution too, like distribute to other breweries for guest taps or some other places around here. You can do that. So we might do that as well. There's one up in St. Pete called Wrap. And they were doing that for a while, and now I think they actually signed on with a distributor. So it's something we're looking to do, but we're in no hurry. We want to concentrate on just the food and the beer and the atmosphere, and everything will come from that. And if we start wanting to expand, then we'll probably do some distribution or open another location. We talked about doing that too. If we open one up in Punta Gorda or in Port Charlotte or something like that. So
definitely.
Speaking of the atmosphere, why the name Three Keys? What does that have to do with the brewery?
Well,
Where's that come from?
It actually could be anything you want it to be. So it could be the three keys, like Lido, Siesta, and Longboat. It could be family, friends, and beer. Or it could be Scott, Kathy, and Jeff. Mm-hmm. So it could be anything that you want it to be. We just kind of a neat name. We like to. I came up because the family, friends, beer thing. That's kind of what we've always thought about, having something where you get your family and your friends and come around and have a good beer. So that's kind of what we had thought of that. So it's a play on different things. So it could be, I don't know, if you got three dogs, it could be your three dogs' names. I don't care. Just three keys, yeah.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I like that name a lot. And with the logo, obviously, you have the family, friends, beer. And I wasn't sure if you were going for that or you were going for the keys.
Yeah, it could be different things. We had an idea for and we were down at the Keys. It was a Florida Keys brewery, and we went down there and we were thinking about it. But it's just a fun place. It's short, and it kind of sounds the same three keys, so it's really easy to say. I mean, I've been to some places like Pinellas Ale Works is a really long one to say, and they just call themselves Paw.
Very catchy.
Yeah, so, and they have a whole dog-themed brewery, so it's kind of cool. But it's, I've seen some ones with really long names. I'm like, why would you even name your brewery that? You know, it's like, I can't even remember that name. So just something short and easy to say. Because after you've had about three or four beers, you want to know what beer you're drinking. It's hard to say some of these long beer names. So
yeah, very true.
Look at even Budweiser. Budweiser, to say Budweiser isn't really that hard. What does everybody call it, though?
Yeah,
Bud.
Yeah. Bud. It's your Bud. Get a Bud, you know, or something like that. Either like TBC, like a Tampa Bay Brewing Company, they just call it TBC.
Yeah.
It's like, that's it. I mean, you're going to shorten it anyway. So it's just like, yeah, I guess you could really technically call it whatever you wanted to, but just go with whatever the logical thing is, whatever the logical short version of that is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where do you guys like grabbing a beer around here? More in St. Pete, Tampa area? You go down to Fort Myers, or what do you guys typically do?
I get the joy of kind of long travel. So, I mean, I've done anything from Orlando all the way down to Fort Myers, like, recently. And, I mean, there are a couple places that are good. But, I mean, if you're going to go to a place, it's like, I generally like to go where people are masters of their craft. I want to see that they've got the actual, you know, brew method there out there on the floor or in the back room or something like that. I want to know it's there. You know, so, I mean, generally, like, TBC is not a bad one, although I wish the food was better there, Bruco. It's not great, but the beer is, you know, the beers are cool. The flights that they bring out are awesome, too. I mean, I don't know if you guys are planning on doing flights for, like, the different the different brews that you put out.
We are, yeah.
But, yeah, really cool. That's really popular there. A lot of people get that. But, I mean, it's anywhere, basically, where you can go in and actually see them processing it and making it. That's my favorite place to go. I mean, World of Beer Evolve obviously is also pretty cool, but I mean, it's still, it's like,
and close.
I don't really go.
It's
yeah,
very
yeah,
corporate,
I don't really,
and
yeah,
expensive too.
And close for you.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I mean, but I mean, you have to think about, when you think about it, it's like a lot of people, it's like the same people who say Starbucks is expensive. It's like they're trying to pay people a living wage. They're also trying to make a profit on it. I mean, when you get a Budweiser, I think in a bar, you're paying maybe 52 cents, anywhere from about 25 to 52 cents depending upon where the market is at that time, per bottle. They're turning around and selling it for $3-4 is generally the going rate for a domestic beer, domestic being made in the actual states. Import, obviously imported, those are going for a little bit more. So I mean, the bar is getting double taxed. They're taxed when they buy it, they're taxed when they sell it. You guys are getting taxed. I mean, like, it's a passion project to brew beer, you know, it's at that, like, and to be profitable with it, you know, it is pretty difficult. But yeah, I mean, they're a little expensive, but I'm an adult with money. I don't mind spending it on a good brew, you know, and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just the atmosphere. Atmosphere is usually pretty good. Dave and Buster's, that's another great place. I mean, if you want to go have fun and also drink, it's good.
Jeff, when do you plan on opening?
We're hoping mid-October is the date. So Kenny's working on all the permits, and we've got plumbers in there, electricians in there, doing some renovation. And so we're hoping mid-October. Well, we're going to open up first with just guest taps because we won't have our permit to sell beer yet. But we're going to have our food, and we're going to have local guest taps, probably all the Sarasota, Manatee County beers. Then we'll probably do some out of St. Pete also, maybe some out of Asheville. We have a lot of Asheville beers that we like. So we'll do that, and then we'll do food. And then hope about December we should get our approval to actually sell our beer. So we'll be actually hopefully doing it then, as we're, you know, around the first 2 years when we actually have our own beer. So
that's fantastic. Brian's got something about how beer saved the world that I think that we need to bring in here. Let's talk about that one, Brian. Bring it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, the documentary How Beer Saved the World. Anyone else seen that? Frederick, Jeff? No.
No, sir.
The greatest invention of all was beer.
I'll definitely check it out. It's basically talks about what that beer brought about agriculture. That beer, because you had to like heat the water in order before you brewed it back then. I actually don't know if that still occurs. Jeff might be able to enlighten us, but they did that back then, so it basically sanitized the water so that they weren't drinking water that was littered with bacteria. But there's tons of things in the movie. It's an awesome, awesome movie. Well, documentary.
Yeah, so basically, people the world was staying alive because they were basically distilling water or boiling water, you know, bringing it up to a temperature where that, and everybody was drinking beer. So instead of drinking water, which would have killed you, you know, it's kind of like the opposite of kind of what happened with absinthe when there was that wine drought. You know, absinthe became a big thing, but everybody was tripping because they weren't really distilling the water for absinthe or anything like that. They were just using the water from the streams that were, you know, polluted at the times. I think it was like the 1500s, could be wrong. But like at the time, there were still wars going on. There was still stuff. There were still bodies and animals, and people were throwing trash in rivers and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, that's why you were tripping on it. But yeah, that's amazing. That, I mean, probably some of us are here because their parents were drinking beer. I mean, not just because it makes them have sex, you know. it's because they were saving the water.
Well, they even believe that the first city started because of the, you know, agriculture. They believe is what started, but they believe they were gathering materials to make beer is why they settled down and started farming.
Because everybody had a beer and they just felt more relaxed.
Because they in order to, you know, farm, obviously you need to need to stay in one spot. In order to do that, you need to be able to protect yourself. So you need to gather together. So you need to, then a town or a city started developing, all because they want to brew beer.
Harvest wheat.
Yep, harvest wheat.
Yeah, because they all had a beer and they wanted to relax.
Exactly.
Grain was the foundation of everything for the most part.
There's video also on the owner of Dogfish Head, Sam Calagione. He's got a great video on, I think it's on like Netflix, on like how he started his brew and everything, the struggles he went through. It's actually really, really interesting, the things he does. He does some crazy things.
What about how you started your brewery? How did that work? Do you want to talk about anything like how people go through the loan process and what people might not know about, stuff like that?
They say that breweries take twice as much time and three times the money, and it's true. The whole loan process, we did an SBA loan, and it was funny because I have a friend in Michigan who was like, oh, you're going to have to take your loan and you're gonna take your ID and pitch to different banks and find one that, you know, does breweries well or understands what you want to do. And then I went to one bank here locally, and it was the first guy I talked to. He's like, yeah, I've just got my finance degree, and I wrote my paper, master's paper, on how to start a brewery. I know everything about breweries, and we love breweries. Let's start a brewery. And so I got the first person I talked to okayed our loan. And the whole process took, you know, probably, well, it took like 5 months to get the loan in shape. But it's a long process, a lot of getting documents and getting things done right and paperwork and everything and just phone calls back and forth. But the loan process was the longest. The lease wasn't as bad. It was just working with the landlord, who was really cool. But it does take a long time for everything because you got to talk with local officials. And here in Brainton, the zoning people and the local government's been really, really good. Sarasota County is just really bad to work with, but Brainton's really good to work with. It's nice that there's actually two breweries already in Brainton who actually have gone through this process, so the county knows how to deal with it now. So that's really good. So, but if you want to start a brewery, I mean, there's not a lot of guidance on how to start a brewery. I think Tony McGee, who owns Lagunitas, has a book about starting a brewery, but his is just what he went through. And if you read his book, he just lucked into a lot of things. Like some guy gave him a 20-barrel fermenter, you know, just stuff like that. But there's some place you can go to get ideas on books on how to start it, but you don't really know until you get into it and start it, and it's hard to plan for. So I talked to a lot of different brewers, and they gave me some advice, and that helped out quite a bit. But it's just a long, arduous process, and I talked to some people who were like, oh, yeah, it took us a year to start a brewery because we were always out of town. And you've got to stay on things every day. I don't know how people start it by themselves. Like the guy who runs J-Dubs, Jeremy, he started it by himself. And I was like, I don't know how one person would just do this. There's three of us, and it's a lot of work. So,
no family, no commitments, no people that they need to basically like answer to in 20-hour days probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I wanted to, since you talked about, Jeff, about family-friendly atmosphere, have you been to Mr. Beery's in Sarasota?
I have been to Spears. Yeah, it's, I like their back area. You just hang out back there. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a couch there. But yeah, I used to go there all the time. Pretty awesome place because they do cater to the family family group a lot. They have like bake competitions where they who can make the best chocolate chip cookie. And so kids come in, a family comes in. So yeah, really, really good example to follow if you're going for the family and environment.
Yeah, yeah.
Cornhole, man. It's Florida. If you throw
cornhole there, yeah.
It's over. You've got people all day.
People love that shit.
We actually found a beer pong cornhole. So it's like a cornhole, but instead of one hole, you've got like five holes or 10 holes in a triangle. And as you make it one of those holes, you cover that hole up. So you go through the whole process of getting it all. Yeah, it's just pretty cool. We're going to get that one, I think.
Huh.
Nice.
Are you going to have any bourbon-aged beer type deal? Since you have a bourbon in your background. Will.
Yeah, we probably will. Since my wife's from Kentucky, and I have a cousin who lives up there. He knows all the distilleries up there. So we could probably have that, yeah. We're going to talk to Siesta Key Rum Company, too, and see if we can get some of their barrels. Do some of them.
Yeah.
Also, I got to talk to them already. So that's another thing we're gonna do. So we have the we're doing small batch beers. So we're gonna do like, you know, our system's a 4-barrel system. So that's about 200 gallons. So we can double batch that. So we can do 8 barrels a day if we wanted to. But the actual what the capacity is the fermenters. How many fermenting vessels you have. So we're gonna do a lot of small batch stuff that we're gonna release 2 to 3 new beers a week. So we're not going to have like flagship beers. We'll have flagship styles of beers, but we're going to brew whatever we want with whatever hops and grains we can get most expediency and the cost for that time. So like some of the big brewers like Cigar City, you know, if they want to brew high, they've got to basically have this kind of hop all year round for all their brewing. They're tied to that hop and that grain bill for what they need for their beer. We can get any hops we want to use. We can get any grain we want to use and brew any beer we want to. So we're not tied to certain ingredients. So that's one thing that we're excited about.
Oh, yeah. Bring that Heffenweiser, son.
Jeff, I read on the paper that you had a beer named after your late grandfather, World War II veteran. What's that like, and what's that about?
So we've got a couple cool beers. Like you just mentioned the Weizen. He actually brewed a Dunkelweizen the other day, and he called it Touched by Your Dunkel. And so it was a really good beer.
Yes. And then, Uncle Dunkel's naked puzzle basement.
Yeah, and then so we do have one. We have one named by my grandpa named. We call it. Well, his name was Billy Fred Marcus. We call it Billy Fred, and it's a session IPA. It's probably about 4.5%. But the thing about it is that my grandpa, about the last 3 or 4 years of his life, we introduced him to craft beer, and he loved IPAs. And he's like, I've been drinking the wrong beer for 70 years. So it was kind of cool. We busted him out of rehab one day, and the first thing he did was we went over to the packaged liquor store down the road from him, and we actually got him an IPA. So that was the thing, was an IPA. So, yeah, Billy Fred is the name of the beer. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Nice. It also gives me that whole, like, Zoolander feel. It's like, listen to your friend, Billy Fred.
Billy Fred.
He's a pretty smart guy.
Pretty smart guy.
Replace Zane with Fred. Good times.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the plan? I mean, you've got to have an agenda for this. What's the ultimate hope? What's the dream? Where does this go if everything goes perfically?
We talked about doing something where if the 3-year plan that I pitched the bank was, you know, after the first year, in the first year we start talking to distributors, the second year we actually start distributing, and then this end of the second year, third year we actually start looking for a new location that's actually bigger. And the idea was to have some place like, I don't know if you've been to Sierra Nevada down in Asheville, but they've got a great restaurant, brewery, and like a big area behind there. So we wanted to have someplace out, just imagine like south of Venice, a little bit of land, maybe a couple 5 acres, something like that. But then we have a nice restaurant, and we have a big brink facility with capacity to distribute. And then we have a big dog park out back. We have a community area where you can do like concerts. And then we thought about having an RV and tent camping. Bring, you know, have like 10, 20 spots to come out and camp for the weekend. And then maybe go bring your RV and spend the whole weekend there, something like that. So that's kind of a plan we had originally. That may or may not still be the case. We may just open, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 small little brew pubs around there. I'm not sure. Or we may just distribute. So we're kind of open now, but that was our original idea. We'll see how things go. I guess it's going to determine how well we do, if we do well. But I think we will. I'm hoping we do. So it's going to be turning on that. So that's kind of our goal.
Nice.
Are you planning any launch celebrations, grand opening event, or anything like that?
We'll probably do like a soft opening, like for a couple of days with like family and friends, you know, and just come on down. And we won't really be open to the public yet, but we'll have people in, and we'll be running through the kitchen and the POS system and the beer hall stuff, make sure things work, and then we'll have a big opening. Some other breweries did that here, and we'll definitely have an opening for food and guest beers. Then we'll probably do a big opening once we actually start distributing our beers, or I start brewing our beers. We'll do that. So, you know, hey, we're open now. We got our own beer. Come on in. So we'll do that. Yeah, and hopefully that'd be like around Christmas time or first of the year. So possibly when everybody's families are down here for the holidays and everybody's fed up with their family, they'll just come to the brewery and drink our beer. So that'd be a great.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I'll put it to you like this: when that happens, just give us good advance notice, because I'll tell you, we will all be there.
Definitely.
Well, for sure.
Well, we're all are on the social networks. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. It's everything's Three Keys. Three Keys Brewing. So we have a lot of fun on Instagram now, so we're doing a lot of photos. So
Snapchat.
You should definitely do
Snapchat, for sure.
Important that you need to get this right away going is make sure that it is a Pokemon gym.
Yo, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
You got to do it. You can request them. You got to get it. If you don't make the restaurant a Pokemon gym, no one's gonna go to it ever.
I saw so many people in Meet Quavo the other day just because it was a Pokemon gym.
Just because it was a Pokemon.
Really?
Gym. Absolutely. 100%. Yep. Yeah. If you can get a Pokemon stop really close to you, or a couple really close to you, and then make your place a gym, it's on.
Yeah.
Like crazy. And you can also give trainers a discount or something like that. Just something that's, you know, throwaway discount or something. Like
I
that.
Saw
like
some,
anybody who's a Pokemon trainer.
I saw a pizza place that they said based on the level you were at, you got free stuff. If you're level 3, you got 50 cents off, and then up to level like 12, you got like a free 12-inch pizza, something like that. It was crazy.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I saw.
That's
so
smart.
Many
you got to jump on that shit,
dude. Just say this: if you're the gym leader, if you're the actual like gym leader, you get a free flight. You just gotta get somebody to be the gym leader and like stick around and be there for a while and whatnot.
That's smart. Yeah, because they're gonna be there. They're gonna be drinking. They're gonna be eating. And they're gonna compete.
Yeah, I saw a local bar giving away Pokemon with every beer that they buy, like a mini Pokemon figurine.
Well, pretty soon you guys are gonna be able to do. Pretty soon you guys are gonna be able to do competitions, because they're gonna open up. Right now you can't fight, but in gyms, but you're gonna be able to fight. You're going to be able to fight PvP, basically, soon. So that'll be a big thing. You can do, like, tournaments and whatnot. I love that this is going towards Pokemon. I fucking can completely talk about this for, like, the next 20 years. But let's bring it to a close, because I know that we got to go. I got to go Pokemon Go, because that's what's happening next. I saw Hillary Clinton literally say that about getting people to Pokemon Go to the polls.
Yes, I heard that, too.
I had to sneak that in on this podcast. Fucking killing me. But that being said, Jeff, second time on. This time was a pleasure, man. We wish you the best, and I wish for your beer. So let's get that going.
I wish for my beer as well. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you, good
Thanks
sir.
Thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
That being said, and, you know, thank you, Brian, for coming in and co-hosting, man. It was really awesome.
Yeah, great to be on again.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Yeah.
If you have a question or topic you'd like us to discuss, send us your text or audio questions at connect@thundernerdsho.com.
Also, hit us up if you're interested in sponsoring the show, and don't forget to pimp us on iTunes with a like or review.